Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland is with us today, and she is teaching us some wonderful things about what, Kelly?
Well, what do you got today?
There's just this call that the Lord is calling. He's been calling us all, but we're in such a time, I think, in the things of God and in history, we're in for, I think, some exciting times as the body of Christ. That is going, what we are going to be doing in the earth as the body, and the one that's described as the church without spot or wrinkle, or the one that we're going to talk about next week and unified in Ephesians, it describes a church that we don't really see today. But that's who we are. That's who Jesus called us to be, and He's leading us in that direction. But He's wanting us to come. He's wanting us to come. He's wanting us to look to Him for answers. He's wanting to be the source of all things. God is our source everything good. He is the source of grace, of mercy, of everything you need. He's the source.
That's called the blessing.
It is. But you know, the earth is not going in that direction. And we read yesterday the scripture. I wanted to just read it one more time. It says in Isaiah 65, the Lord says, I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. You know, one of the things that just the last few days really has stuck out to me, there's, you know, we're in the United States, it's an election year, and you got every kind of thing going on out there. Every kind of thing, this person says this is right. This person says this is right. And, you know, one group of Christians say this is right. And this group of Christians said, you're an idiot. No, this is right. I mean, we really shouldn't be talking to each other that way anyway. But there's the church is all over the map about what they think is right. You know, as we begin to present ourselves to Jesus for His direction, He'll tell us what's right.
That's right.
I was thinking about all of the different ways and the different stories in the Bible of the people that came to Jesus. Some of them maybe didn't originally intend to come to Jesus, like the woman at the well. She was just coming to the well at a time of day where nobody else was there, thinking, I don't want to hear it from those sisters, you know, because she wasn't living her life right. But Jesus was there, but He ministered and loved on her. And did He correct her? Yeah. But look at the impact. And she at first resisted it, but then she invited Him to give her the living water. And when He did, whatever all He said to her changed her whole perspective in a moment. She ran back to her village. You know, the word says that He stayed there 2 days because of her. And her whole village was saved because of her willingness to allow Him into her soul, into her life, into correct things. And she said, go see that guy. There's a guy out there that told me everything I ever did,
yeah.
What I love the most about her and what Jesus did for her is He rid her of shame. Because she used to go to that well at the time of day when nobody was there because she had shame. But people who are ashamed don't go run into their village and say, go listen to the guy that knows everything I did, right? Yeah. She was not ashamed anymore.
No.
And she impacted her village.
That's a good insight.
So there are things that happen on the inside of us when we allow Him that liberty and freedom to speak to us about what needs to change.
Oh, yes. Amen.
When we allow Him to show us the things that need to change. When we allow Him to be the source of all things. You know, the church right now, I just I said the other day, I really stay away from most of the social media. I'm on Instagram because I like seeing pictures of people's kids and what's going on at church, and that's pretty much, you know, it doesn't get all negative there like some of the platforms of social media where you even see Christians just calling people idiots and I guess
strife and stress.
Striving and thinking I know best or thinking that I have all the answers and you have none. You know, just because we all listen to the Lord doesn't even mean we're going to sound alike or look alike.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the Bible actually says that. We're going to read it. I don't think we'll get to it today, Mother, but we are called to be in unity, but we're parts of a body. You know, my fingers don't look like my nose. I would look like Pinocchio if it did.
Right.
You know, it'd be funny if everything on our body looked exactly the same. It doesn't. It has all different functions. So we have to learn and grow in His grace so that we can allow other people to walk in the grace, not just the grace that they've been called to, but the grace where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may be walking in grace that's beyond where you're walking. Some people may be walking in a grace that they haven't come up to the place where they're walking in the things that you're walking in, but gosh, God, you know, Jesus was patient with me. How can I not be patient with someone else and they're walking in the grace that they are aware of?
Well, it says forgive if you have aught against any.
And it says in Ephesians,
so
work hard
things.
to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
Allow the grace of God to work in others. It's not my place to make you or anybody else do right. So what happens, though, is when we begin opening up our life to Him for this type of direction and restoring our souls, I find that the healthier you are in your soul, the freer you allow somebody else to be.
It's probably
when you're unhealthy in your soul, you feel like you have to control. And when you're trying to control people, that's not Jesus. But the healthier you get on the inside, the more you'll allow somebody else to grow as they need to grow, and the more you can be free of responsibility for them. You know, there are a lot of works and things written and published about being codependent on somebody, and it gets to be very unhealthy where I feel like I have a right to control you. Or if you don't do such and such, I can't be happy. That's not the truth.
That's right.
When you begin to expose your heart to Jesus and He begins to fix things, it's amazing how free you can get of other people. You're still with them, but you can just love them because it's not your job to live their life.
That's
it's
right.
Your job to live the life that Jesus puts before you and to let Him teach you and guide you. Well, as He gets in there, you begin to be expressive of love and come across with love and not judgment. Come across, express yourself with love and not condemnation.
Yes, that's right.
And so what begins to happen when you let Jesus in there, walls come down between you and Jesus, walls that have been built up through whatever. Then walls begin to come down in your family. Walls begin to come down between you and brother and sister in the church. Unity in the body. And then what happens? Walls will begin to come down between the body of Christ and people who don't know Him. And it's this process that He's working. I'm saying all this because this process that He's working in us has a kingdom goal to it, which is exciting to me. And we're going to talk about that a lot next week. But the world is all messed up in the sense that they're really not even looking to God for help. He said, I'm here. I'm calling. I'm here for anybody, but nobody's looking for me. I have the answers for you, but nobody's asking me the questions. And, you know, there's a lot of debate right now, even in the church about socialism. They have a desire to help people, especially young people. I love young people. I love the generation that's coming up and, you know, the 20s and 30s, this age of people, they so want to love people. They so want to help people. Well, the world says you help them by the government being in charge. You help them by the government taking the money from an individual and the government feeding and doing all of that. That's not God's way.
No.
The government, what, that's really in a nutshell what's wrong with socialism. And I'm really not even saying, I'm not saying these things for political purpose. I'm really not. I'm saying these things because to look at anything else besides Jesus as your source is idolatry. To look at anything else besides Jesus as your source is a failure.
And it's limiting.
And it's limiting because God wants to do so much for you. And even it limits, if my money is taken away to feed somebody, it limits. It doesn't limit because I'm a faith person. I'll just believe God for more. But the ideal of God's plan is for me. 2 Corinthians 9 shows a picture of God blessing me so I can be generous. And it says in 2 Corinthians 9, Mom, that when I'm generous, it causes people to look to Him. It causes people to give thanks to God. You know, when the government's generous, it just does not cause people to be grateful to God.
No.
And because it's not directed that way, the government wants people to look to them. But when you or I are generous, we can lead people to Jesus, and He wants to be generous to them. He wants to change their life. So there's these processes that God has in place. He doesn't want us looking to Baal or looking to Babylon or looking to the government.
Well, that's never sufficient.
It doesn't work.
No.
And it keeps people out of Jesus' heart. It keeps them from knowing Him.
And the power
of His
resurrection.
It becomes a roadblock. You are the connection for people. Jesus is in you. You're the connection for them to know Him. So in every way that we get into people's lives, to not to fix them, but to love them, to help them, to, you know, be part of their life, we are able to bring Jesus.
Praise
and
God.
And cause them to meet this wonderful Jesus who so kindly and wonderfully helps us. The more corrected we are, the more like Him we are, the more people are drawn to us. And it's not a popularity contest. We're supposed to be drawing them to Jesus through us.
That's right.
And letting them see Him. Why am I throwing all this into this mix? Because it's not, the more we turn over our will and our life, and the less it becomes about us, the more it becomes about Him and helping other people and winning other people. And that's, Mom, when we get into impact. It's like that woman at the well. She let Jesus correct her. She impacted her village.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a, speaking of how people come and how they can be corrected, what about the rich young ruler? He actually came to Jesus. But I think he came to Jesus thinking he already knew the answers. Because he said, you know, I've done everything. What else do I need to do? I don't think he really was looking for one more thing to do. Do you?
Maybe not.
Because when Jesus said, yeah, you just have one thing. If he was really earnestly looking for that one thing, for that, what else do I need to do? Look inside me, and we should all be coming to him like this. Look inside me and tell me what else I need to do, Lord. Whatever it is, I'm yours. If he really came with that heart, then when Jesus said, yeah, you've done this, 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 and this, Jesus pretty much said, yeah, good job. But just go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Well, my question was, I think what he heard was, Jesus wants my money. But what Jesus was saying was, you need to give your money. It wasn't about God needing his money. It's about him needing to give it away. It was about him needing to look to God, him needing to follow Jesus. I mean, Jesus' disciples were not without. Jesus said, go and don't even take anything with you. I'll take care of you. But he wanted this rich young ruler to learn this. But this rich young ruler couldn't do it as long as he's holding on to what his true source was. And really, his pride was keeping him from the greatest adventure.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
What a life Jesus had planned for him.
Come, go with me.
Come and go with me. He didn't say that to very many people.
No, he didn't.
He must have seen something in this young man. But I think that story proves that just because God sees these things in you, just because Jesus sees your potential and loves you so much, doesn't mean that you'll be willing to walk with him and let him lead your life. Let him be in charge. That humility that is required, though, will absolutely change your life. You know, when there's a story in the Bible where Jesus was teaching in the home of Mary and Martha, and Mary was sitting at his feet, which is where we need to be. And Martha was busy getting stuff done. And you know, when she told Jesus, tell her to help me, don't you think she knew what Jesus would think about it? She thought she knew Jesus' opinion about that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think we know what Jesus thinks. But unless we're sitting at his feet and looking at his face, how are we going to know what he thinks? If we're just busy and we're just doing things in our own abilities, you don't know what he thinks. So Martha, he said, Martha, Martha. I love that because, you know, Mom, when you're in trouble as a kid, your parents say your first name and your middle name. Okay, for me, if I was in trouble,
Kelly D.
Kelly D, right?
Right.
But he didn't say Martha Ann or whatever her middle name was. He said, Martha, Martha. Even in that, his correction was sweet, wasn't it?
Gentle.
It's gentle.
Yeah.
So he corrected her, and now she knows, forget the beans, forget the lunch, forget working for all these people. Sit down at my feet.
And you know, learn of me.
What I'm finding, too, in the Word, and you see it in 1 Corinthians, you see it, you know, Paul said, I'm resolved to not know anything except for Jesus Christ crucified.
And him crucified.
Him crucified. Jesus Christ. And Paul knew a lot.
Him crucified.
But he put all that aside to really know this, to really, you know, when our life, I want to, this book, I read it a little this week, it's called Faith That Prevails. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I don't think he ever like wrote a book. These are from his messages. But there's some things in here about humility. And this coming to know Jesus and this humility of putting yourself away and accepting His will.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to lead us to impact. That's really my point today. Let me just read a few of these things to you. I've read some of them. I might even repeat some. There's so many good things in here that it would be, I think I could easily just read the whole book and you'd sit here and enjoy it. But let me read this one. There's no other way into the deep things of God but a broken spirit or a soul that's been broken open for Him to live in and direct. It's not hard.
Not a weak spirit, but
no, a broken open. Like in Hebrews, it talks about they harden their hearts. They harden their mind and their will and their emotions against God. But if you think about that as ground.
It's a willing spirit.
If you think about it as ground, your grandfather was a peach farmer.
Yeah.
And so you know what that ground could be like if it was hadn't been used or it was hard from the elements. It had to be broken up, broken up. So there's no other way into the deep things of God but a broken spirit or soul. There's no other way into the power of God. God will do the exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think for us when He can bring us to the place where we can say with Paul, I live no longer, and another, even Christ, has taken the reins of my life.
Praise God.
He says, as this light, precious faith becomes a part of you, it will make you so you will dare to do anything.
Bold.
I like that. And remember, God wants daring men, men and women who will dare all, who will be strong in Him and dare to do exploits. How shall we reach this plane of faith? Let go of your own thoughts. Take the thoughts of God, the Word of God. If you build yourself on the imaginations, you will go wrong. We have the Word of God, and it is enough.
Amen.
If you've lost your hunger for God, if you do not have a cry for more of God, you're missing the plan. We should always be this way.
Hungry.
Let's just stop and judge ourselves. If you may have learned these things, you may have been studying with Mom and Dad longer than I have. I probably not, but I was there from the beginning. But you may have been with us for a long time, but if you've lost your hunger and your cry for more of God, we're missing the plan. There must come up from us a cry that cannot be satisfied with anything but God. If you ever stop at any point, pick up at the place where you dropped and begin again under the refining light and the power of heaven, and God will meet you.
Praise God.
He will bring you to a consciousness of your own frailty and a brokenness of spirit. Your faith will lay hold of Him and all the divine resources. In other words, when you come to the place, and sometimes it is hard things that make people come to this place, doesn't have to be, but sometimes it's coming to that place where you know there's nothing you can do about it, and you begin to open your life up to Him to a greater degree, then your faith will lay hold of Him. If your faith is, there's nothing in yourself to lay hold of the answers, your faith will lay hold of Him. Well, just today, do that on purpose. Don't wait.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't wait until something hard happens to lay hold of Him. Lay hold of Him today.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to keep going in these things and see how they have grand impact. But today is just me and you and Gloria and Jesus. It's time for us to lay hold of Him.
Praise God.
To a greater degree.
Amen, Kelly. Why don't you lead us in prayer?
Oh, Jesus, we lay hold of your mercy, your grace for our lives. We respond to your promises and we say, yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
None of us and all of you. We resolve to know nothing but what comes from you and what you've given us as ours. And we humble ourselves, Lord Jesus. Show us these things. Correct us. Show us in
your
our soul.
Will be done, Lord.
Show us where we need to change things. You taught me I needed to worship you more. There was deeper places of worship.
Thank you
taught
Lord.
Me that, Jesus, and you've changed my life. I'm so grateful. You've taught us all so much, and there's more to come. Say that. Lord Jesus, there's more to come, and we receive it all by faith.
Lord Jesus, there's more to come, and we receive it all by faith. Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.